Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out.
People are sharing their real vulnerabilities and their real struggles. And I think that that's where you get hope. But if you're looking at the counts that make you feel good, and then there's a bikini model that makes you feel bad, then just like, eh. Like my whole feed is just feel good. You know, that's all I want. I want to feel good.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. In this episode, I'm getting into social media and your sex life, because we've heard from so many of you that social media is becoming the third partner in your relationship. And unfortunately, it's not the threesome most of us are craving. Sure, it's a great way to connect, but it can take a major toll on our relationships. I'll be talking about the good, bad, and questionable impacts of social media and answering your top questions. Like, what does it mean if my partner follows a bunch of Instagram models? If my partner's paying for OnlyFans, does it count as cheating? And is it okay to check my partner's phone? We surveyed our listeners, and you might be surprised how many of you have snooped. And also, how does this endless scrolling affect your confidence? We also have a new Ask Emily on the site, which is about not having orgasms during sex. I know you ask me that a lot, so check out our website at sexwithemily.com. And if you have questions you want to ask me, no problem. Just call my brand new hotline. It's 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just leave me your questions, or you can also message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. As always, include your name, your gender identity, location, age, and how you listen to the show. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, let's set an intention. I do it, and I encourage you all to do the same. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode, and how can it help you? My intention is to inspire all of you to take a look at how social media is impacting your relationship, your personal life, your sex life, your mental health, and see what kind of tweaks you can make so social media can work for you and not against you. I hear from listeners and followers every single day about the problems they're having in their relationships or in dating, and oftentimes social media plays an enabling role. So I asked you, how has social media impacted your relationship, your mental health? And I'm just going to run down here what your answers were on Instagram, which is at Sex with Emily. So some of you said social media causes unrealistic expectations. Many people said the same thing. It makes your partner less present. It gives easy access to cross some relationship boundaries with other people. Others said it voids trust if they say they're doing or saying things in secret. It can also just cause doubts, like due to seeming like there's a multitude of better options than you. Someone else said, I struggled early in my relationship by comparing us to other couples. No more. Yeah, because other couples, you don't know what's happening with them in social media. I've seen the happiest couples in the world, and the next thing you know, they're no longer together. Some of you also say you're constantly checking up on them, and that leads to distrust, which I can see that. This is why you got to pull yourself away from your phone. You're going down a rabbit hole, and you're like, who did they like, and who are they following, and where were they last week? A lot of you said it's really hard when my partner follows Instagram models, and it definitely affects my mental health. We're going to get into that more in a moment. You also said it triggers your insecurities. Oh, and here's one we've all been through. When going through a breakup, seeing photos of the new partner. This is why you got to unfollow and block your ex. You're welcome. It is the best thing you can do. It will save you hours and hours of time than diving deep into their social media and finding their new partner. You broke up for a reason. Remember that. Someone else said, the older I get, the more reluctant to add my partner in social media. I've heard that too. I've heard people say, why do we see each other every day? My social media is my social media. We don't need to follow each other. So those are some of the things that you said were most impacting you with social media. And we're going to tackle all of those right now. Then we did a poll. Have you ever gone through your partner's phone? 48% said yes. 52% said no. Now, I do not recommend going through your partner's phone, although I have done it. And whenever I have done it, I have found things that I do not like. But usually what prompted me to do it was because I was getting feelings in the relationship that things were a little sketchy. Like, why was he in the bathroom looking at his phone? Why is he hiding his phone all the time? Like, what's happening that's so exciting at midnight? You know, those kind of things where you're like, there's just something. And we have to trust our gut. We have to trust our intuition. So I would say instead of going through the phone, you could ask the question, talk to your partner before you go scrolling through their phone. Because I do think you're always going to find something, but usually it's just not about what you see in their phone. There's some larger issue that's been going on. So besides the phone, are there other behaviors that you've seen? You could just say, you seem a little distant. You seem really into your phone when we're together. Is there something you want to talk about? People do it. But I know some couples who share their passwords. They're like, take a look. It's all yours. I can tell you, after someone who's been in a lot of relationships over the years, there are the people's phones who I could not wait to check because it was more than one. And then there's the ones that I was like, huh, I've been with this person for a year and I've never once thought about checking their phone. I've never once thought of anything going on. And to me, those were the healthier relationships. We only check when there's been something that made us feel off, something that doesn't seem quite right. That is your sign right there to start paying attention, to have the talks, not to sweep it under the rug. We also got a question about this as well. This is from Madison 23 in Washington. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Dear Dr. Emily, okay, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I had a sneaking suspicion that something was going wrong in my relationship. I looked through my boyfriend's phone when he was sleeping to see if I was right, and I saw some flirty text messages between him and an unrecognizable contact. What am I supposed to do now? I want to approach him about it, but I also don't want to admit that I was looking through his phone. What is your opinion on snooping? Well, like I said, if you find yourself snooping, that's when you need to pause for a minute. Usually, we are triggered to snoop because of a circumstance. Something's happened. We found some evidence. Something's not quite right. Our partner's coming home later. I remember someone telling me once, like, yeah, like he started like using different shampoo or he got a hair, like things were just off. And I just had a feeling. And this is when I tell you that you have to have the conversation with your partner. I think before you snoop, that's what I recommend. I recommend just saying, listen, I feel like there's been some things off lately and I want to know, is there something else going on? Is there someone else? You can talk to me about it. But I'm going to be honest that so many people are not going to come clean. They're going to lie. They're not going to tell you. They're going to maybe gaslight you and say that you're crazy. And how could you think that? I'm so loyal. There's nothing going on. And then this is when we lead to snooping. Okay. So my opinion is you snooped and you found something. Now what? You know, again, this is why it's great when you ask and then you snoop. Like if you don't get the answer you want and then you snoop, you're like, well, I asked you. But that's neither here nor there. If you can get your partner just to listen for a moment and just say, yeah, I know, but I had feelings and you can give, it's always great to have examples and say, well, A, B, C happened. The time you came home late, the time you said you were going to see your friend and I found out you weren't. And have your examples ready. And then you could say, and I found this contact. Could you tell me more about that? And then see what they say. and see if they come clean. Like, oh, that's just someone from work, or actually I've been wanting to talk to you about it. And then you're going to get your answer. Maybe it's something completely innocent. We don't know yet. The fact that they were flirty texts doesn't make me feel great. I think when people are often caught cheating, they deny it because they're not ready. They haven't prepared it. They think they can get away with it. But eventually the truth all comes out. So really, Madison, you know your partner better than I do. And I think we all know when someone's not telling the truth. But you have to be strong in this as well. If your partner says, listen, I was flirting. Sometimes I do that. It kind of fills me up. I love just flirting online, but I would never do anything. Maybe this is time to talk about, well, what does he need from you? Because oftentimes we start to flirt and we start to look for other sources to fill that part up in us that isn't getting satisfied in our relationship. Maybe your partner's no longer being loving towards you. They're no longer saying the sweet things. They're no longer flirting. Remember, we have to continue to flirt in our relationships. You have to continue to date your partner no matter how long you've been with them. The dating part of it can't end. So Madison, I've seen a lot of couples as well where the cheating or some infidelity or indiscretion actually leads to a much stronger relationship because they decide, okay, well, this little indiscretion made me realize that I actually do want to work with you. So I've seen it go both ways. I've seen it happen where it can actually open up a whole new form of communication and couples become closer together. And I've also seen it blow up and the relationships end. So as long as you can keep a cool head about you, listen, ask questions, and then you're going to have to make a decision and see if you want to continue. But I think it's a great time to set some new parameters for the relationship, some new goals, some things you want to work on. And of course, you know how I feel about therapy. Every couple can use a little therapy. Okay, this was a huge one. And not only was it just during this episode, but over the last few years, my partner is following exes on social media. Hey, Dr. Emily, I just started following your Instagram, have been listening to your podcast and love them. I've also convinced my boyfriend to follow. I have a question about relationships and social media. My boyfriend has had 100 plus sexual partners. It doesn't bother me about how many partners, but there are some that he still follows on Instagram. I've told him it makes me uncomfortable, especially when he likes these girls in bikinis and lingerie photos. Is this normal and okay that he's still following these girls he's had sexual relationships with? It makes me feel like he's keeping them in his back pocket and that I should post such photos. Thanks, Dr. Emily. All right, there's a lot here because first, I totally get this. You got to communicate with them. You could just say, tell me about your relationship with the ex. What happened? Are you guys still friends? Was it tumultuous? Get more information about it because I know that I am not the norm at all, but I follow a lot of my ex-boyfriends are friends of mine on Instagram and they like my things and I have no way do I want to get back together with them. Will I ever get back together with them? But we're friends and it's been years. And you can be friends with exes. I'm here to tell you, it's not toxic and they're not abusive and it's just because timing and life and you weren't in the place to be committed, you can have beautiful relationships with exes. So you just got to get more information here. Now, if it's really like 50 women a day and he's always liking this one few exes photos all the time, same thing. Ask your partner, tell them how it makes you feel. How important is it to keep liking their photos? What's their relationship like? I think it's a lot to say you can't be friends with your ex anymore. But if the behavior is making you feel like they're not respecting a boundary or they are just doing it and you sense that there's some other motivation, I think trust your gut on that. I think that if it's repeat, listen, I'm telling you, if it's like all the time and it's really becomes, you start getting all these signs that your partner's doing things, like there's probably something there. But if it's just one or two likes, it's not that much, then you have to look at yourself and go, well, where have I... You know, have you have a history of someone's been cheating on you? You have to look at all those factors. Is it because of this partner? Is it because of your history? Because of your past? But I think a loving partner is going to want to make you feel safe and secure and loved and confident. And so I would totally be like, no big deal. I'll stop following them. Also, you don't have to start posting pictures of your own body to make you feel comfortable or sexually empowered. You really don't. In fact, the most important work you could do here is to just authentically post photos that feel like the most you. The more you go towards who you are and you face the shame and the things that you think you cannot say and the things you're holding back, the better you're going to feel about yourself. And a lot of this stuff won't come up anymore when you get into a more confident, authentic place. Thank you for your email. This is from Sarah, 22, in Ottawa, Ontario. Hey, Dr. Emily, I recently had a conversation with my boyfriend about masturbating and got into the topic if he uses visual stimuli to get off. I already knew he wasn't a fan of porn, but was curious if he used anything else. He was honest with his response and told me he sometimes looks at pictures of other random girls, but didn't want to go into detail and felt awkward talking about it. I clarified that it would bother me if he was looking at photos of girls he knew in real life, and he agreed this wouldn't be appropriate. I can't help but still be bothered by our conversation and feeling insecure that he masturbates to pictures of other girls. He made it clear he wouldn't mind if I did the same. However, personally, I don't masturbate to photos of other men. Do you have tips on how I can learn to be okay with this, or should I communicate how much it's bothering me to my boyfriend? All right, Sarah, this is a great question, and this is a learning curve, okay? So I would say that many, many penis owners masturbate to photos. It's probably one of the oldest forms of masturbation. You can't tell him who he can and cannot masturbate to. And he might masturbate to people, friends of yours. It happens. This happens. This is frequent. And listen, there's an element of taboo. There's an element of I probably shouldn't. There's an element of like, this is just a release. And I understand that at 22, it feels like an assault on you maybe, or your relationship, or he doesn't want to be with you. It makes you feel insecure. But this is where education comes in. And I need you to understand that it's part of being sexually healthy. It's part of having a rich fantasy life, that it's really common. And I do hear this more from men than women, but they require the visual stimuli every time, that they love looking at the pictures. And it doesn't mean that they like these people any more than you, or they want to be with someone who looks like the women in the photos. It's just what happens. So how can you, it's just a practice. We masturbating is healthy. A lot of times we need something else to look at to stimulate us. And so I want to ask about your masturbation routine and how comfortable are you with fantasy and your own sexuality? Because I find that when often I'm focusing on my partner's problems and the things of my partner that are bothering me, I often am not looking at my own stuff. So I just want to make sure that you're continuing to masturbate and you're continuing to find things that turn you on, and communicating that with your partner so you guys continue to have a rich sex life. He's still going to be looking at pictures. You still aren't going to be able to control that. But you might feel a lot more connected to him if you're continually enriching and enhancing the connection you have with your partner. That'll make you feel so good. That kind of trumps all the insecurities when you're like, but I know we've got this hot sex and great connection. So that's the direction I'm going to send you in there. All right, Sarah, thanks for your question. After this break, I'm revealing whether or not OnlyFans should be considered cheating.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Hero. Here's another main question you asked me. My partner is DMing or messaging other people and flirting online. Let's talk about micro cheating for a moment. Because listen, if your partner is admittedly like DMing a bunch of people and you're seeing flirty messages, I believe that that is a form of cheating. Absolutely. Especially if you have an agreement that you are maybe exclusive and reading the messages don't make you feel great. Maybe you haven't been solid ground. I mean, I don't think that anybody in the honeymoon phase of their relationship, which is about 6 months to 2 years, I don't think that they're doing that behavior as much. I think it's when you get to the point where things have gotten a little stale and they're like, I'm just going to DM this person. I mean, I get DMs from people that are like, I'll click on their profile. I'm like, he's with his wife holding babies. It's like, I don't know if they're just doing it to get off. Like, let me see if Emily answers. Do they really think I'm going to be with them and I'm going to message them? But I think there's something very intoxicating about being online and having access to women that you might find attractive and just sending a message. But that's why all of this stuff really gets into the psychology of it. When you do talk to your partner, you say, I just want to understand it. I just want to understand more about it. Is there other ways that I could be doing more in our relationship, that I could be giving you that kind of thrill or flirting, or is there something that we could do for each other? But let's talk about micro cheating for a moment. So micro cheating is any act or behavior by someone in a relationship which might suggest to a third party they are emotionally or physically available. So you might think it just started with smartphones, but before smartphones, micro-cheating might have been like that sneaky removal of a wedding ring before a night out. You can always tell by their tan lines. I'm just saying where the wedding ring was. You can find that. But in the digital age, it is so much easier than ever to let someone know you're available. Anything from like deep liking, the deep liking when you go back into their Instagram and you're like, or their Facebook and you're liking very old photos, or just sending direct messages. But the thing about micro-cheating is it's a behavior that could spark infidelity. It's not saying the infidelity actually happening. It's sort of a warm-up. It's sort of like a foreplay to the infidelity. And the fact that we are communicating more and more online as opposed to face-to-face mean that relationships have just become more and more ambiguous. There was actually a study that came out that said people were asked to judge certain scenarios and see if they felt like cheating or they were not cheating. And this is not surprising. Late night interactions were judged as more unfaithful than those taking place during the day due to the secretive nature of nighttime interactions. Then they further went on to ask how jealous, angry, hurt, or disgusted people were as a result of their partner interacting online with someone outside the relationship. Well, the consistent finding was that females were emotionally more affected by these behaviors than males. So the term micro-cheating is experienced more strongly by females. But I also think that sometimes females are better at cheating. I'm going to say that too, that we cover our tracks. But I'll listen to what this study says. So really, overall, it's just saying that the behavior that defines what's cheating and what's not, micro-cheating, is really about the context and it's really about the intent. And one more thing I want to say about micro-cheating or any type of infidelity, you're concealing something. You are concealing some information from your partner. So if you're keeping something from your partner because you know it's going to get you into trouble, it's probably a little bit of micro-cheating. Like if you are secretly hiding from your partner, that's cheating however you want to slice it. Micro-cheating, a little bit of cheating. So think about that. Now, why do people cheat? Why? It's kind of like why people cheat in any way. We want validation. We want to be entertained. We want something different than what we're getting at home. It could be for our ego. It could be feeling desired again when we weren't feeling desired before. So while I think that being online and chatting with a bunch of people, in fact, there are studies that show the people who are online more have more friends, they have a more active social life. If you are excluding your partner from a huge part of your life and you're living a secret life, that just might be telling you something about the state of your relationship and the state of what you actually need right now and maybe some things that you need to deal with in your personal life. Speaking of micro-cheating, this is another poll we did. Do you consider OnlyFans subscriptions to be cheating? 42% yes, 58% said no. So if you don't know about OnlyFans, there was a huge surge in membership and in OnlyFans during the pandemic. It's essentially a content subscription service based in London. And content creators can earn money from users who subscribe to their content. So they become their fans. And so this allows the content creators to receive funding directly from their fans on a monthly basis, as well as one-time tips. There's a pay-per-view feature where you can ask for a specific, you know, hey, I want you to do this dance for me. Typically, OnlyFans is sexual, but not always. And we also got a very specific question about this from Sophia, 28, in New Hampshire. Dear Dr. Emily, my husband and I have been together for 5 years, recently married last July, and now are expecting our first child. A few months ago, I found an OnlyFans account open on my husband's iPad. He'd been paying for images and videos for a year of our relationship, and I had no idea. We have a very healthy sex life, lingerie, mix it up at least 1 to 2 times a week, and we're very open about what we like, and I've even tried new things that he says he likes in porn. All that aside, I was so hurt and felt like he was cheating by sending money to real people for their nudes and videos. I confronted him and he argued it's not cheating. He just likes to watch and that he was mad at me for finding it. Eventually, we talked and understood each other's perspective a little better. I'm all for masturbating and porn and freedom in that sense, but paying for real strangers and being in situations where you can chat with them is cheating to me. He said he understood and things have been fine. A couple months ago, I found out I was pregnant. I've struggled with the body changes and our sex life as he's more nervous now that I'm pregnant to have sex. I broke down one night about this and he reassured me. However, this keeps going here. Today, I discovered he has a secret SpankWire Live account and had been paying girls for shows as recently as last week. After seeing how much he had hurt me the first time, I don't know how to handle this, and already being insecure with my changing body, this has been so much worse. How do I handle it? Can we move forward? How can I trust him when he swore the last time he was done? Please help. Sophia, thank you so much for spelling this out for me. And it sounds like you have been doing all the things. You're communicating. You've talked to him about it. You're pregnant again. Congratulations. But this sounds like a really tricky situation where you have felt deceived. You feel like he's been cheating on you. It doesn't feel great. Now, here's the thing about when partners say they're not going to cheat again, however you define it, I'm not going to go on OnlyFans again, is that a lot of times those are empty promises. And here's why. Changing a behavior is a process. So while it's really easy if a partner finds out that you're cheating, be like, oh, babe, I will never do it again. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. But unless you actually think about it and you go, why am I cheating? I actually mean it and I don't want to cheat again. Well, that's when you got to start looking at yourself. That's when your husband say, what is it about these models and what am I getting from it? And this is why I would recommend that you and your husband right now get into therapy. It's a once a week meeting that you will not cancel. It's to think of it like a mediator who can help you guys facilitate a conversation and find out, well, what was the cheating about? Is he willing to look at that? Because maybe there is some kind of habit he's formed around the connection with these women that is sort of a distraction. Maybe he's using it as a stress reliever, and maybe it really has nothing to do with you. But he's not sure why he keeps going back to it, because I'm going to believe that he really believe, maybe in the moment he thought, I'm not going to follow these other women, but yet he's here again. So this is why we all need help to change behavior. That's why we see coaches and that's why we see therapists. And so I'm certain that this is something that you can't solve on your own, because now it's happened twice, Sophia, and you're going to continue to feel every time something happens or he says something, you're not going to trust him. This is how the mistrust builds in relationships. One thing after the next, our partner says they're not going to do it again. And then we find out, and then we wait again for the other shoe to drop. So much better is to get into a practice with a therapist that can help you heal this and get the language around it so you guys can move forward. And if he's not willing to do this, then I think you definitely have to get into therapy and figure out what you want to do with this situation. But what I do like here is that you have a healthy sex life, sounds like, and that you're mixing things up and you're making things interesting. There are a lot of men who do have fears around having sex when their partner's pregnant. Nothing's going to happen to the baby. So I'm not sure what that's about. That might take a little bit more education on his part. So stay on the path here. I'm really sorry this is happening to you, Sophia, but please find a really good counselor or therapist near you that you can both go in together. You guys see what I mean? There's so much toxicity with social media, and it's hard to measure tone on social media. Then that leaves space for interpretation and games and confusion. And some examples, toxic, what is a toxic behavior? Creating second accounts for stalking, using stories as indirect messages to spark jealousy, and tracking locations of certain people. you know, like you could do on Snapchat. There's another thing like fubbing. I'm going to teach you a bunch of new terms today. Fubbing is the practice of ignoring one's companion or companions. It could be your family or your friends in order to pay attention to one's phone or other mobile device. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations with friends and lovers where it's like, really? Like you're hanging out with me and you choose to be on your phone right now. I'm telling you, if you're on a first date with someone who's on their phone the whole time, you can just imagine that they're going to be on their phone for the entirety of your relationship if you choose to stick with them. I think it is disrespectful, and I think that we're so distracted that it's okay to tell your partner that, like, let's have a night or two without the phone. Let's put the phones down for an hour. Let's have Saturdays without a phone. You know, let's just really try to have date night where we leave the phone in the car. Whatever it is, you need to start putting these practices in place so the phone is no longer controlling you, but you're controlling your relationship to the phone. I can remember someone that I was really into. We went away. We went to Mexico for a week. And I remember that, yes, he had a very high profile job and it was very stressful. But literally the whole time we were on the beach in Tulum, he was on his phone to the point where I was like, really? Like, we were there with some other friends and they were just like, what's up with him? Like, and then I realized that, oh, wow, he actually is like this a lot. And he didn't have any, he was just like staring at the phone. And so to me, that was like a turnoff. I knew that that was not going to be a relationship that I could stay in. Cause I even said things. I was like, here we are in Mexico. He's like, I know, I just got to finish this deal. This deal's coming in. I was just like, this is not interesting to me. We're on vacation. I'm trying to stay away from my phone. And that ended right when I crossed through customs. So the other impact that social media has is it creates false expectations. So here's another one, doom scrolling, which is kind of like doomster baiting. We covered that in an episode a few months ago. You're scrolling mindlessly to content that makes you feel bad, that's impacting you and affecting you negatively, like news or things that spark jealousy, that make you feel angry, that make you feel sad. If this is a practice of yours, you're lying in bed at night, you're like, I can't help it. It's like watching a train wreck. I know I shouldn't be scrolling. It does impact our sex lives when we keep putting all this information in front of us. It's going to impact our confidence. It's going to impact our mental health. And let's talk about the social comparison theory. Do you ever think that when you see people living a so-called perfect lives online, or you see attractive people online and then it makes you think that you're less attractive, it can affect your sexual confidence and performance. But there's actually something called social comparison theory. And this says that people constantly evaluate themselves with others in areas like attractiveness, wealth, intelligence, and success. And get this, according to some studies, as much as 10% of our thoughts involve comparisons of some kind. So essentially what it's saying is that individuals determine their own social and personal worth based on how they stack up against each other's. And this is not a new theory. This was a theory that was developed in 1954. And the research has shown that people who regularly compare themselves to others, they might find motivation to improve. They might be inspired, but they might also find deep dissatisfaction, guilt, remorse. And so this is what I'm talking about. Is that if you find yourself surrounding yourself with people that are making you feel bad, we get to program our own minds. We get to decide the television we watch, the people we follow on social media, and even the people that we're friends with. You can unfollow all of them. You can decide what kind of information you want to be feeding your brain rather than your brain just soaking up everything else around you, because it does make a difference, the whole compare and despair. And this is something that I've learned in life, that you don't have to be around the people that make you feel bad, even if it's your family. You can choose the times that you spend with people and the times that you spend doing things that fill you up and make you feel better and make you feel more empowered. Listen, insecurities and shame, these are all the things that are impacting our ability to show up in the bedroom the way we want to. After the break, I'm talking to our amazing, talented interns who not only helped produce this episode, but had some really interesting insights of their own. We have fabulous interns here at Sex with Emily, and the interns helped produce this show today. Erica Thompson has been a production intern for Sex with Emily for the past 8 months. She's finishing her third year at UCLA with a major in human biology and society and a minor in food studies. She's from San Francisco. And also Maria Hernandez, she's a content intern for Sex with Emily the last 8 months. She has received her Bachelor's of Art degree in writing, literature, publishing, with a minor in global and post-colonial studies at Emerson College. She's a writer and a book lover from Puerto Rico. Hello, fabulous Erica and Maria. Thank you for doing this work here and prepping this show. This social media and relationships is something that it's new territory for all of us. We didn't have this even 5 years ago. It must come up a lot. Does it come up a lot with your friends?
Oh yeah, it's everywhere. You can't escape.
Every day? Do you like sitting in your dorm room or sitting and you're like, oh, who liked this person? Does that happen all day, every day?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like living a different part of your life, basically. It's a different life.
So you guys were able to collect a lot of questions. Clearly it wasn't just, you know, it's everybody. Everyone had so many questions about social media and relationships. So are there some from Instagram that you wanted to highlight? We got so many.
Yeah. So as you've already talked about, one of the big issues that people have with social media is insecurities around their partners liking other people's photos or following other people. And I think, and I've seen a lot of people on Instagram are also wondering, like, why aren't women supporting other women as much on social media? Why is it so easy to target women for, oh, why'd she post a bikini photo? Why, you know, instead of celebrating their confidence, It's seen as like a threat to their relationship and their partners. So I'm just wondering if you can get into that a little bit.
Gosh, that's a mindset shift. That's like slut shaming, right? It's like, why do women, they always say that women are the most, are the worst to other women. And it's a good question, because I think there are the women who bring other women down and there's the women who celebrate other women's success. And I'm not sure what's really in the middle there, because I often hear, I think it has to do with a lot of things. I think there's women that grew up with that being modeled in their home. Their mother was always like, that woman next door with her short skirt and this one's bad and that one's bad. Like, you grow up and like, and that's what you see. And you grow up maybe feeling threatened or jealous that women are a threat. I honestly think it's the behavior that you see modeled in your home. But that doesn't mean that you have to live that way. You can learn to forge healthy relationships with women, you know? And so I think that's where it starts. It's a practice to realize that women actually supporting other women is probably how you're going to have a more fulfilled life and go further in life and have more friends and have more love and support and realize it's like this really beautiful thing. I'm grateful for whatever upbringing I had around friendships and stuff. I find women who are competitive, I'm not friends with those people, to be honest. I find it really, really toxic. And think about this. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're somebody who does that. But I just think that a much healthier way to live and a way that's really going to boost your self-esteem is that you're going to find that you can flip this. You can start to support women and see what happens. You can start to hear the words come out of your mouth that are negative and maybe stop and bite your tongue. Say something positive or don't say it. And I'm telling you, there are people out there who are paying attention to the words that you say. Again, it's a practice and it's a great way to find your people. And I want to encourage women that if this kind of puts something off in your head, think about it. How are you treating the women in your life around you? Are you supporting them? Are you not supporting? And if so, I mean, listen, I often know that when I'm super negative about other people and even just to myself, I'm like, okay, what's wrong with, like, where am I not loving myself right now? If I'm super jealous or I'm feeling something about someone else, it typically has to do that I am not in a confident place. Something happened. I feel threatened. I don't feel great. But remember, most criticism is about, really, if we're putting it outward, it's usually about ourselves. And it's just a deflection. And I would say you should spend a lot of time figuring out who you want to spend time with in your life, who makes you feel good and who doesn't. And you, just because you've known someone for a long time or because you have a history, doesn't mean they have to be a friend for life. Okay, Maria, which one of these resonated with you on Instagram?
Yeah, this one popped out to me because it's basically just referring specifically to Gen Z, because like this is something that I've seen like the positive and the negative light to. I feel like social media has made us be very critical of ourselves. We've been comparing ourselves to a lot of other people. But I also feel because we've grown up enough with social media, there's also a movement of being more body positive and being more connecting to other people, not just like comparing. The question is, how has social media influenced Gen Z's sex and body expectations? I guess my specific question is, how can we keep moving forward where like we don't compare ourselves to other bodies online and we can move forward to just being more body neutral and just like, I don't know, connective with other people?
Such a good question. It's like comparing and despairing, right? That's what we do. We compare, we despair. We're looking at social media and we just keep thinking that we're bad and or that something's wrong with us. And I would say unfollow people that don't make you feel great or don't make you feel good. We all know that, right? That trigger, like every time you see that person, unfollow them. Find people who are more like-minded. Like, it's funny, like I go on my Instagram feed and all I see is sex positivity. I just see people who are sex positive. I'm like, gosh, everyone's talking about it now. Now you might only follow me. That's cool. But I mean, it's like, it's what your reality becomes who you surround yourself with, whether it's the people or the social media or the books you read or the TV shows you watch. You are programming your own mind of what your reality becomes. So I would say, I love the body neutrality movement. I love that fashion brands online are now including all size bodies. And I've seen that change just in the last 2 to 3 years. And so I think how we continue it is talking about it here and pointing it out to your friends and saying, you know, I noticed that maybe you're comparing yourself and it seems to be causing you a lot of pain. Here's what I've learned on my journey. Just sharing your stories. Sharing it on social media. How, you know, I think that's where we find social media really helpful, is that people are sharing their real vulnerabilities and their real struggles. And I think that that's where you get hope. But if you're looking at the counts that make you feel good, and then there's a model, like a bikini model that makes you feel bad, then just like, like my whole feed is just feel good. You know, that's all I want. I want to feel good. I want to feel good. Well, thank you so much, Maria and Erica. You are fabulous interns, contributors. I love having your insights, and I appreciate your help so much with the show. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.